Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
How's your stomach this morning? How are you feeling, Flames fan? So stupid. I thought it would, honestly, like I watch the games and I prefer the Flames to win, you know? Makes for exciting, the fans get excited and the shows are more fun to do and all of that. God, I thought I was going to, I just think I'm going to barf as I was watching that stupid thing last night. That third period, is that clock regulation speed at the American Airlines Center? Because that 20-minute third period took about 3 hours. Good God almighty. But the Flames find a way to hang on by a score of 5-3. Shots in the third were 15-4. The one shot
good
is...
God almighty.
I hear you, Bo. I hear you. The one shot goes into the empty net, so essentially it was like a 15-3 shot advantage for the Stars in the final 20. And they had made it a one-goal game at 3:44. If it was a two-goal kind of thing, it's not so bad. But that goal made it interesting. And I was thinking about that last night as I was watching. It's like, this is the worst feeling in the world. I mean, this is terrible.
I just think I'm going to barf.
But yet that's what you want, right? This is what we asked for. This is what we wanted. We wanted to be able to have games in the third period that kind of made you sit in the edge and you got to get up and walk around and all that. And I'm telling you, like, that's for me. And I like seeing them win. This has been an unbelievable year. I don't know that I've ever watched a year quite like it. But if you were born and then put immediately in Flames pajamas and you've cheered for this team for 20, 30, 40 years, like I said earlier, I didn't even get in the building before somebody in the hallway accosted me. Hey, what a game, hey? Like, what a game. Wow, what a game. I'm walking into the control room here. He's like, can I come in? Yeah, that's fine. Like, really, what a game. Like, dude just needed to talk. He had to get that play by Gaudreau. Like, oh my God. Like, really? I'm like, crazy, right?
For sanity's sake, he just needed to talk it out.
He just needed someone to talk to.
Probably didn't sleep last night.
I said nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at. Did not see it coming. Didn't like the two games in two nights into Dallas. You knew how well they'd been playing. Truly, we talked about it. Want the second best record in the entire league in the last 10 games, 8-2. Their first regulation loss in some time. And Flames have had a hard time beating these guys this year.
This was like a signature 2014-15 Flames win. They had no business winning and they won. And it came at a time that was incredibly important to them. This is what they've found a way to do. They've bucked the odds. They've beaten teams they should not have beaten, whether it was with empty nets behind them twice on a couple times this season when it's only happened, I think, once or twice before in Flames history. Or last night, you get off to a dreadful start. You allow a goal in the first shift. Dallas is all over you. And then for about 12 minutes, it's like the clouds parted and a ray of light shone on the Flames bench. And that's all they needed to win. The rest of the way, they just dug the claws in and hung on.
Yeah, they did something right. You know, they've been living well or doing something to appease the hockey gods, because they get the bounce off of Goligoski.
Right.
Hudler gets a piece, it goes in. And then in that third period, that not one of those shots after it became a one-goal game. Not one. Because it really could have been, if you go the other way, could have been like 7-4. Easy. Because they had chance after chance. And it wasn't just, well, we're putting pucks on net, but the shot total says this, but really a lot of the shots were from the out. No. These were shots from in the blue paint, just outside the blue paint, completely in the slot and in the scoring area, whatever you want to call it. They took it to the Flames. And they were able to to withstand the pressure. And I don't know that, you know, was this a Mika Kiprasov-esque performance by Jonas Hiller? I don't think so.
Didn't even look that good to me in the first, to be honest.
Really? Yeah. Didn't look, again, just didn't look like he was ready. Just wake up.
First couple Come goals, like, oh, you probably want both of those back. Then the crossbar where it meets the post, that one rings in behind him, and you're thinking, this thing could get really ugly tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, this team, somehow, some way, they're as emotional a group as I've seen, in the sense that when things start to go good, it snowballs like crazy. They can be hemmed in their own zone for 8 minutes, taking timeouts after icings. But if something goes right, i.e. the Hudler goal last night, I've never seen anything like it. The pendulum just completely swings the other way. They seem to be able to ride momentum better than any team I've seen. I don't know how they do it. I want to ask Rhett, in fact. So ask Rhett today.
He doesn't know.
Okay.
No one knows. 3 goals in 6:49. I saw someone refer to it last night. Could there be a more Jekyll and Hyde team on this night than the Flames? And it was. At some point, it looked like they had no business being in the game, let alone leading it. And then when they were putting the pucks in, it looked like the Stars were just crumbling, and the Flames were able to wheel around and do whatever they wanted. 3 goals in 6:49. They chase Kari Lehtinen. In comes Enroth. He was perfect the rest of the way. But this was you talk about some coaches and some teams that have a hard time getting players to buy in. This is not a new story. But if you needed any example, maybe never a greater example this year, I'm sure there is. We're all very much whatever's in the front of our mind, we remember the easiest. But you talk about a team that is bought in. Everyone did whatever they had to do. They got enough goals. The goalie made enough saves. They dove. They blocked shots. Did I mention 32 blocks last night? The Flames add to their total. They're first in the National Hockey League with 1,462 blocked shots. They blocked 32 of them last night. You add that to the 36 shots the Stars got on net. They also fired another 32 that missed the net.
Or hit posts. That counts as a miss.
Yeah. So if a guy takes a shot, and there, how many of those cross-seam passes that they just sailed a little bit wide? So the 36 shots, the 32 that they missed, and then the 32 shots that were blocked by Flames, that's 100 pucks at the net.
Compare that to the Flames 47, and you probably got a pretty decent picture of where the chances were last night if you had to count them up for both sides.
Good God Almighty.
Someone's looking at the same box score we are this morning on the text line. Looking at the box score, 15 shots in the third, but it felt like 25 scoring chances.
Yeah, somehow. He's not wrong.
Right?
He's not wrong.
Yet again, the misses in the posts would explain some of that. But here's the thing, Bo. What was it, 5 days ago? Dallas was in Calgary 6 days ago? They weren't bad that night either.
Yeah.
And if you had looked at the total huge pile of chances the Stars amassed over those two games, and you told me the Flames got 3 of a possible 4 points over that stretch, feels like there's something happening around this team this year that just you can't really explain with the numbers.
They
should have 0 or 1 point, right?
You know what it is now in hindsight? Don't you wish that we would have kept a diary of some sort? Be like, okay, game 3. Inexplicably, they find a way to win this game because this is what happened. A come-from-behind, this was their 24th come-from-behind win. They have 42 wins. More than half of them have been come-from-behind fashion. But you know what I mean? To have kept a diary of all the incredible, you know, you think of the Boston game when you're down 3-0. The Ottawa game, you're down 4-0. The game-winning
Kings,
goals that we've
where they
seen.
Scored 3 in the third, remember that?
Gaudreau hat trick and Giordano through the crease scores. The Brody backhander on Tuukka Rask that finds its way in.
Yeah.
We have seen more incredible, improbable things this year than some teams will see in a decade. And it continued again last night. Shot comes in, delayed penalty call, goes off the goaltender, bounces a couple of times off of Goligoski. Hudler gets a stick on it, in it goes. Well, that's fortunate. You'll take that one. And with each one of these bounces that you get, you go back and you think, well, yeah, that crappy one that kind of came off the end boards and hit the goalie and went in, I guess we're even. Or that one that came from the side, that Tangay goal from the goal line that went off of Ramos skating in. Well, I guess we can forgive that one now. But they do it. And watching the players, there's so much of this game that was, in a weird way, they didn't play well, but it was impressive to watch. In that third period, how they gave everything. You know what I mean? To watch Johnny Gaudreau dive and get a stick on that seam pass, which could have changed everything.
And I believe it was the same shift that he lay down in front of a point shot. And that's not what you're used to seeing out of a 150-pound, 2-point-per-game college star.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, he's bought in. And what happened when he got to the bench? He had mitts on his helmet and pats on the arm and sticks to the back end. They're all in this. Like, there is not one shred in that room of belief that they're going to miss. Everyone, we're in. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
We have to do it. We do it at all costs. And that's, even though Giordano's gone, that's part of what he's built.
It's part of what they've built. Like you were saying, we've seen Chris Russell blocking shots. We've seen Lance Boma drop down. We're now seeing the rookies, the 5'5" rookies dropping down to make game-saving plays. If nothing else, if not textbook, it was you talk about team-building exercises. You know, you stand on a box and then close your eyes and fall backwards and see if they'll catch you. Nothing quite like that last night.
Yeah.
Because everybody had a say in it. Rafael Diaz. Really? The puck goes in off of Goligoski and in, and then Diaz, Bobby Orr, coming in off the blue line, cuts in.
Nice little pump fake.
Sucks
there.
The goalie over, and then he not only does he do that, he attempts the wraparound. I'm like, oh boy, here he goes around. Wow, he tucked it in. Like, what an unbelievable play. And as that was one of those plays when you're watching, either live or at home, it does kind of hit the slow motion for you. Because you see him get the puck, and then all of a sudden there's daylight. Wow, there's a lot of room. Okay, go, 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 go. So then he kind of, okay, I'll take it to the net. I'll take it to the net. Then at about the circles, take it. Walk, yeah, down low. And then I did not see the wraparound coming. I thought, okay, he's gonna angle off, and about the goal line, he's going to take a little shot and see if he can bank one in. But he pulls the wraparound, and the goal by Gaudreau. That, honestly, I tweeted last night, how Patrick Kane-esque was that goal? It's a rifle shot into the top shelf from the slot, then the one-arm pump and the white mouth guard hanging out of his yap.
Yeah, that's true.
Could it be any closer to a Patrick Kane kind of a goal?
And you know what? We hate these analogies
I know.
Because they're sky high, but is Monahan not built of the same bricks and mortar as Jonathan Toews? The captain, the quiet guy, like, he's going to get a letter at some point here. You know it.
Easy.
And what does he do? He goes flying into the end wall, has the peek over his shoulder, three or four strides before he gets there, and then finds a way to put this in at Mach 10 onto Johnny's stick, and he handles it no sweat. Like, that pass was ridiculous. How does that get there?
I don't know. And I said,
and you were saying earlier, maybe he's just throwing it to the middle. But you watch that replay. He peeks over his right shoulder when he's going to the end.
He does take a look, yeah. He take a look.
And in that line this month, maybe they don't even need to look anymore. It's almost Sedin-esque from a few years ago. They just seem to know where each other are. And where would this team be without those three in March? Probably looking up at L.A. and maybe even one of Dallas, Colorado, or San Jose.
They win last night. It's a 3-point cushion on the LA Kings. We'll tell you what happened on the out-of-town scoreboard. Some good, some bad. Another team qualifies for the playoffs. What else did we see last night? Some injuries starting to crop up across the NHL.
Bunch of teams punched the tickets to the dance.
That's right. And the Oilers are winning.
They've got two against the Kings left, so we'll allow them to continue to do that.
The Oilers have some games coming up against all of these teams, the Vancouvers, the Calgarys, the LAs, all in this chase, the Winnipegs. And I can't help but wonder, everybody's kind of just checkmarking those boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful.
For sure, be careful.
Be careful, because they're playing their best hockey, again, regardless of why, but they're playing their best hockey of the year right now. 621, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Two words, be careful.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings with Boomer in the Morning on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
Tuesday morning. It is Boomer in the Morning along with Ryan Pinder. You want to hear it? Huh?
Udler, stick handles across the Stars blue line and moves it into the near corner to Monahan. He centers. Puck in front. Gaudreau shoots. He scores! Johnny Gaudreau with a wicked wrist shot, and he rifles it right by Kari Lehtinen. The Flames have scored three unanswered and have a 4-2 lead.
Yeah. If it would have stayed 4-2, it would have been a lot easier on people, I think. But then all of a sudden, 4-3, and then it's a white knuckler all the way to the finish. Hudler adds to his point totals again last night. He was terrific. Second star of the hockey game, for what it's worth. A goal, an assist, plus three in 17 minutes of ice time. He talked afterwards about the magnitude of the victory and how you don't sit on it, but you got to enjoy it at the same time.
Big win, but we gotta keep looking forward. They got a lot of offensive power. We knew that. The hustle was great. I thought we were better in 15 minutes in second period, and we were fortunate enough to score three goals there.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Game in 15 minutes, brought to you by Yuri Hudler's line.
There it is. As far as Bob Hartley, the coach, had to be nerve-wracking for him on that bench trying to monitor, okay, who's going, I got to salvage some ice time. I got to keep some guys for the end of this period. I can't imagine being on that bench trying to read and react to everything that's going on. He talked about that incredible push the Stars had in the third period.
They kept us under siege all period, and I felt that, we did a great job. We made the necessary plays at the right time. We blocked tons of shots. Hills was very good in net, so it's a huge win.
They got crushed in the faceoff dot again.
I know.
Back-to-back nights.
Well, they got 37%.
And the night before in Nashville, they had 38%.
Yeah.
I mean, these are not your textbook keys to the game, brought to you by lose all your face-offs, get heavily outshot, lose the lead early, have your goalie look shaky in the opening 10 minutes. Like, everything you didn't want to happen was happening early.
So I love Jamie Benn, 78% in the face-off dot. No need to use him at center, right? We're not going to use him as a center. We'll put him on the wing.
Spezza, 17 wins, 6 losses. I'll take that.
Yeah. We talked a little bit earlier in the last segment about how this was a team win in the aspect that everybody contributed. You've got your top line that did the scoring. You've got everything. But the top line also had to work defensively. We talked about the sell job or the sellout by Gaudreau on one of those final plays. Schlemko, Diaz, by the end of that game, while that being under siege, watching Derek Englin try and move out there, I mean, he was absolutely done, but continued to try and push and push. And Hartley talked afterwards about how it's not just on the fourth or third lines to be defensive and then the top two lines to score. Everybody is all in.
That's the culture of this hockey club. Whoever you are, you don't pick and choose your jobs. You have to get dirty no matter what. And Johnny was right in that shooting lane, and that's a huge block. If Johnny doesn't block it, that puck may be in the net, and you never know what can happen after. So commitment is a big part of this group, and that's why I always say it's a fun group to coach.
It's fun to coach, I guess, and it's certainly something to watch. 5 games to go in this regular season. We'll tell you what else happened last night. So 5-3 is the win there. We go to the out-of-town scoreboard.
It's a weird night. There was either 5-3 or 4-1 out there. That's all there was last night.
Goals. Everywhere you go, goals. 5-3, The Tampa Bay Lightning go into Montreal and beat the Habs this year, 5-0.
You think they remember last spring?
Think so.
When Bishop got hurt and Montreal yarded them in what, four?
Where's was it the, five? Where's the Lightning stats here? Because I know they're. Did I delete it? I couldn't have deleted it because I made. Oh, there we go. This year regular season. Montreal Canadiens versus the Lightning. Habs have gone 0-5. They've scored just 8 times. They've allowed 21 goals. And in the playoffs last year, they went 4-0, scoring 16 goals and allowing 10.
Old Anders Lindback was helping out, though. We'll say that.
Yeah.
That was him, right?
Last night, the Lightning 5-3 winners over the Habs. The big game here from Namestnikov, as he had 2 goals and an assist. A goal for Jonathan Drouin, his first goal in 43 games.
But remember, he was the odds-on favorite to win the Calder? Like, Vegas was not paying much on that?
A 42-game goalless drought. That's Warner-type numbers. Ben Bishop, the goaltender, had 2 helpers on the night. Flirting with the NHL record. Would you like to know who has the NHL record for assists in a single game by a goaltender?
I think I know who it is, but enlighten us.
Calgary Flame goaltender Jeff Reese had 3 assists in that famous 13-1 win over San Jose February 10th of 93.
Like those peanut butter cups? It's recent. Nah, it's all good.
It's not the same. Victor Hedman left this hockey game with injury. Still not sure exactly what it is. They're banged up a little bit.
Yeah, he's doubtful for their next action, yeah. Is the word.
Jason Garrison is out 3 to 4 weeks. Suster is day-to-day, week-to-week, and now a little bit of uncertainty about Victor Hedman, so that's not good news for them. On the other side, Max Pacioretty gets his 37th of the season, and Carey Price takes the loss, 0-4-1 against Tampa Bay this season. To St. Louis, the Blues, one of the best teams in the bloody league.
And they got stuff to play for, too. They're trying to fend off Nashville and get top seed in the Central.
They got it, right now they got to catch Nashville. Nashville has 102 points. St. Louis with 99 could get them within a point last night. All they need to do is beat the Canucks at home. But instead, this one's all Vancouver. Mathias, Bonino, Verbata, and then Burrows into an empty net. 4-1, the Canucks take it to the St. Louis Blues. Verbata with a goal and an assist. And this is nothing new if you go back in time, if you visit the recent records.
The archives.
6 straight wins for the Canucks against St. Louis. They are 11. Listen to me now. You're highlighting. 11, but I need you to listen to
11.
Me here. I need all of you pull over and listen.
Put on your signal light.
Vancouver has gone 11-0-2 against the Blues since November 4th of 2011.
My phone just exploded hearing that.
13 games, 11-0-2.
That does not make any sense.
Makes no sense at all. Canucks are in Nashville tonight. Go Preds.
Seriously.
Go Preds.
Back to back. Nashville at home isn't what it used to be. What was it, 2 months ago or less? They had 3 losses on home ice. They're up to 8. They're not the top home team in the league anymore. You can look to Tampa Bay, who's better on home ice. Nashville's not what they used to be. They're just not.
Oh, we'll see.
Come on, Nashville. Pull up your socks.
Blues are off until Thursday. They'll host the Flames. They've lost 6 of their last 9 at home, and Vladimir Tarasenko left the hockey game yesterday. No word. Find out maybe a little bit tomorrow. But or maybe today. We'll see. I'm not sure. It may be an off day for the old Blues, but we'll find out. So, again, tonight, Vancouver in Nashville. Go Preds.
Is that a commercial they're playing on your computer?
That's their goal song.
Oh, okay.
When they score goals, they fire up. I like it, I love it,
I want some more of it. What's that song about?
He's
the food?
He's very upset.
Wings?
No, he's just, nothing makes him happy. Hates everything. Very negative individual.
I
like it, I
love it. I didn't pick that up.
Barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. Speaking of which, Warner coming in about 5 minutes. Chicago home to the LA Kings. You saw Chicago 2 nights ago with the late surge against the Winnipeg Jets. They get the win. Could they make it 2 in a row? They go home. LA Kings come in. Brian Bickle Makes it a 1-0 game, 5.5 in.
Hey, Brian.
Hey. Hello, Brian. Jake Muzzin ties it. Then it's all Hawks. Duncan Keith, Chalmerson, Hossa, and it's a 4-1 Chicago win. In this as well, the Kings losing Sakara, the defenseman they gave up a first-round pick for. No word as to how serious that is. This was the Kings' first visit to Chicago since that Game 7 win in the West Final a year ago. But the Hawks win, so totally redeeming themselves. That Stanley Cup,
in a row,
that Stanley Cup championship that they the Kings went on and won, totally means nothing now that the Hawks won last night 4-1.
That's right.
So here's what
ledger's even. Now.
Yeah, here's what the Kings have. They will return home. They got Edmonton, then Colorado, then into Vancouver, into Edmonton. Come to the Saddle Dome.
Get your tickets.
And then back home to play San Jose. I don't even know what I'm telling you. I'm just telling you that's what's up for them. The Edmonton Oilers in Colorado to face the Avalanche. And you can turn out the lights. Oilers win it by a score of 4-1. Brandon Davidson, his first NHL goal. Schultz, Nikitin, and Taylor Hall. Two empty netters for the Oilers in this one. The Nikitin and Hall goals. The Avs remain 8 back of Winnipeg. They played 76 times.
See ya.
She's over. Varlamov, the loss. Richard Bachman gets the win. I believe he's a Colorado kid, is he not? Didn't he go to the University of Blank State?
CC or DU? Yeah, those would be your two Division I programs in Colorado.
Yeah, I don't know. Arizona home to Buffalo. I said this earlier. 13,612 people in Glendale to watch the Coyotes play the Buffalo Sabres.
Was it free beer night or was it free ticket night?
Stop it.
Come on.
Who's kidding who? Sabres win 4-1.
Two empty netters there as well.
Coyotes.
Don't go thinking that the Sabres can get
four.
Yeah,
no, this was a 2-1.
Goal in.
Yeah, 2-1 game. Mazeros with both of the goals. That goal-scoring
Andre
phenom. In their last 18 games, the Coyotes have one win. 1-15-2. Well, I can see why 13,612 showed up at the Gila River Arena to watch that.
Sure, they were all full freight tickets that were sold as well.
Just move that team.
Colorado College, Richard Bachman. Look at you.
Look at me.
Wow.
Look at me.
Wow.
Yeah. Where's he from?
He's from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Oh, so he's one of those.
One of those good, clean-living folks. Yep.
One of those characters. The we'll have Brunt coming up in less than an hour. Warner is in the building, but I saw him take a direct right as opposed to a left, so we know where that means. And he'll join us in a matter of moments. Flames with a... significant win, 5-3. They defeat the Dallas Stars. What does it mean? What did we see? We'll get Warner's take next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Away from 7. Flames. That's a victory right there, says Sean Monahan.
That was obviously a big 2 points, but I don't think we had the start we wanted. But we found a way, and we stuck together as a team there, and bared down, blocked some big shots there. Johnny did a great job, so you're getting that game winner and then blocking that one at the end. So I think it was a good team win and a fun way to get the 2 points.
I'm obviously very excited.
He's so excited.
Good for him.
We got the 2 points.
I kind of doubt
points.
That.
Better than 1 point.
Yeah.
I'm not answering that question.
All right, Suts. Team win. It's not, you know, the Hall of Fame isn't calling Dallas for game tape of that to put in the archives, but that is a team win in that pretty much everybody had to do something to contribute to that victory.
Something character-wise and non-character-wise, right?
Yeah. Do what you usually do, but also if you could do that which you don't ordinarily do, that'd be great.
We're going to need that too.
So which Gaudreau put it awesome. In the roof. score a big goal, but we're then you're going to need
to. That's what he normally does.
That top line, when they get flying, that's as good a line as you got in the NHL anywhere. I don't care. You stack them up. Stack them up. I mean, Getzlaff, we got Kopitar, hard to play against, maybe harder to play against, but just skill-wise, offensive talent, it's as good as there is.
There's something. They're
230 goal scorers, or
yeah, that'll happen. The other's got probably flirt with 25, and he's your Calder Trophy candidate.
You got how many guys in the top 10 in scoring? Well, Monahan's top 10 in goal scoring, isn't he? Hudler's top 10 in scoring, isn't he?
Hudler sits 8th in league scoring, 71 points. I was looking at it. He's 10 points clear of Henrik Zetterberg, who leads the Wings in scoring. Not sure they saw that one coming.
But you know what? What's maybe more impressive is he's just 8 back of Crosby for the Art Ross.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? 8 points? He's not going to get it. But
wow.
he's going. He's in that, and I mentioned earlier, as far as calendar months from a Calgary Flame over the last 25 years, Fleury and Roberts both had 24 points once. Hudler's got 23. It's one of the best months we've ever seen by a Flame.
Hudler and Monahan, 12th and 13th in league scoring.
Has there been a better line in Flames history?
Yes.
Who?
Wow. I mean, you go to those cup teams, you could build some lines. But for the last month,
yeah, but
I'm with you, Rhett. Like, what they're doing now is pretty special.
At their ages, you're talking about this.
Yeah, well, obviously, it's Dean McCammon and Craig Conroy and Jerome McGinley. I mean, come on, Rhett. Let's put it together.
And there you go.
Dean McCammon.
Could have played wing on that line.
While we're talking about Hudler, 29 goals. His previous career high was 25. 42 helpers. Previous career high was 37. So points, he's got 71, which is quite a bit better than his 57 previous high. We knew what he was. Detroit depth player, good third liner, fit in well with what Detroit does. But all of a sudden, you start to put a little bit more skill around him. And I think probably time will tell. Right now, it seems maybe a little, you know, when you say that, is there a better Flames line ever? Some people are going to say, just stop. But if you go 4 years from now, and depending what happens.
Yeah, everything.
It may not, and not to say that even Hudler will still be a Flame, but it may not be the craziest thing, because who knows where Gaudreau is going and who knows what Monahan is
going
to be.
Well, they're both going up, for sure.
They could be, and boy, now we're really falling in love, but they could be franchise-type players.
Here are the guys you've heard of that have fewer points than Yuri Hudler this year in the NHL. Evgeny Malkin, Claude Giroux, Steven Stamkos, Ryan Getzlaff, the Sedins, Tyler Seguin. This is crazy. Rick Nash has fewer points than this guy. That's quite the list.
And I'm telling you, man, you watch them, they're as offensively gifted as you're going to find. When they start wheeling around, look out.
Gaudreau is just a special player. You watch the way he's able to get himself out of tight spots. It's remarkable. It's unbelievable to watch. And I almost feel like, and this is going to sound silly, because Patrick Kane is one of the best players on the planet, but I feel in his ability not to stick handle or that, just to get away from pressure. If he's on the wall, whether it's a spin or just kind of to take the puck and get away, I almost feel like that's better than Kane right now.
Just darts around, right?
Yeah.
How else?
I said last night that goal that he scored. How Kane was that goal? Goes to the high slot, rips it top shelf, does the one arm, the big, you know, the celebration, and he's got the white mouth guard hanging out. That's a little homage, if nothing else. But he put the dagger in, and that's the other thing that you love about it. You watch how fired up he is to score goals, loves scoring goals, and loves to stick it right in your heart.
Yeah, they do.
Right?
And I think Monahan comes across a little more laid back, but I think he loves that too. Like, I think all those guys want that kind of, here's a slap in the face when I score on you. Ha ha. Let me do it.
There's something to that.
That being said, they could have lost that game.
Oh, yeah.
Three or four times.
Probably didn't deserve it.
That's great as all them are.
So how did they win this game?
Just like you said. Well, you had guys. They did what they did. That top line scored. So, I mean, the character. They had guys playing. And I don't want to call it out a character, but they had guys doing things that show you they've all bought in. They've got guys doing all the little things that it takes to suck it up and get that win.
You mentioned Gaudreau dropping down, blocking shots, getting a stick on that puck. Now, maybe that puck doesn't go in, but it was one of those plays. It's a signature play. Rafael Diaz, I'm going to suggest his modus operandi all year has been just don't get yourself caught. Don't get in trouble. Keep it simple. Put pucks deep and change. All right? You're getting 6 to 8 minutes a night. Just don't get scored on.
You are buying the other guy's rest.
That's it. And instead, he scores one of the prettiest goals the Flames have scored all season long. Finds a little bit of open ice, cuts in, waits, hangs on, goes to his right. And you look at all four of those green shirts. They're all just jammed right together. It's like they got the shackles on each other. And not only does he attempt the wraparound, but he tucks it.
That's pretty.
That you don't get that every night out of Diaz. That's out of character. The goaltending, I don't think, was great, but it was pretty good in the third.
It out, and whether it was great or lucky or fluky or Dallas kept missing the net or what, he gutted it out.
So, and again, you have to give Hartley credit because he went to Hiller when not many people thought he would. Was okay in Nashville, didn't have to be great, gets the win. Two games in two nights, well, he'll go back to Ramo. No, he's going to go to Hiller, and they get a win out of it. Not to say that Ramo wouldn't, but I can't help but wonder, with how, at times, reckless Ramo is with his sliding and coming across, if there just would have been some relatively easy plays. Last night, you needed that blocker type of a goalie. That good positional, not fantastic. Just make the saves. And the first one kills you 40 seconds
ooh,
in.
Lights out.
Right? Because the Stars had something to play for last night.
Well, they were. I'll tell you what, I don't mind that team.
Well, I've been calling on the Stars for what, 2 years?
That. You have. Don't mind that team.
If they can get
some pretty good talent going there, too.
Talk about good lines in the NHL. I mean, Seguin, Ben, and Eaves has been pretty all right.
You can tell Lindy hates his goaltending. He's said as much already, but he hates his goaltending.
It's not been good.
You got to remember, too, like for Lindy Ruff, that is when you start your NHL coaching career with maybe the best ever.
Dom, yeah.
Dom Hasek, so easy. And you got to become accustomed to it. And you got to know that. If I have goaltending, I can do anything.
And it wasn't like Ryan Miller was bad either. I mean, even when they were bad in Buffalo, they had a good goalie. Now he's got a good team, and they can't get saves.
Yeah. Because I don't know. The Weidman goal wasn't great. The Hudler, I don't know what you can do there. It's a delayed penalty call that goes off a player
it's off
and
a
in.
Leg. I mean,
the Diaz play, I guess he overplayed it. But
he sure bit, but so did everyone.
Everyone else did.
And even if he wants to get back to that post, there's a logjam in the slot. He can't move. I mean, like you said, there's four guys with his colored jersey standing in the crease.
Yeah. And then the Gaudreau, I guess, maybe a little bit out of position, but still, it's placed in a perfect spot. And he yards him out and puts Enroth in. You can just tell he hates his goaltender.
Just doesn't trust
him. Doesn't trust it.
That's a problem.
They had a nice little run here in the last month, and the goaltending's been better, but they went out and got a goalie at the deadline, and Lettinen did not have a good first half of the season. This is something they may address this offseason, because there's not a lot of other holes on that roster for the two viewings we've had in the last week of the Stars. They do everything pretty well.
I agree.
That's a good team.
You got to think, if they had any goaltending for the first 40 games.
Yeah. And probably no fun. Once you get in, because they'd probably be a wild card team.
That's again a special player, right?
I said this, and it sounds like such a stupid statement, that last week when they were here, I went to watch morning skate. And to just to watch when they're playing around. Because once they get into line rushes and stuff, they're taking it relatively serious and they're kind of doing their thing. The coaches are watching. But before Zamboni just leaves and they start just kind of dicking around, watching him shoot that puck and just as hard as he can trying to... It's unbelievable his release. You're right. I mean, he is a special player.
16 shot attempts last night. 6 hit the net.
For him?
4 of them blocked and 6 missed the target. I mean, it was a shooting gallery for that line.
Did you hear the numbers? 36 shots on goal.
Yeah.
They took another 32 shots that either hit posts or missed the net entirely. And the Flames blocked 32 of them.
Ooh.
32 that's, others. Yeah.
You add all that up, that's 100 pucks being fired towards the net. 100. And the Flames win 5-3.
And the Flames had 47 shots. And all those other things added up together.
Half.
This is where the guys that hate the advance, oh yeah, see? So. That said, the point being, not the recipe to win tons of games that way.
No, I don't
But
think
on one given night, they managed to gut
you
it
You know
up.
What it also does? It gives them, all of them, a learning experience. Not the whole season has been, but... In that pressure cooker of, oh boy, you're up by a goal or two in the third playoff hockey.
Yeah.
You aren't. You might have to sit back and weather that kind of storm. You don't want to, but it happens.
You had the stat on Anaheim, 1-goal games this year, and it's something like 38 of them.
Yeah, they've played in so many.
And they're like 36-0-2 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, I think they
like
just
that.
Suffered their first. They have one loss in regulation this year.
In a one-goal game. And there's tons of them. It's not like there's 5 of them. It's every other game they've played, it seems, is that. So I'm with you, Rhett. Like, this is why this is such a valuable season. Whether they do anything or not in the playoffs, or they get there or they don't, you're returning a young core of players that's already pretty battle-hardened, that have been in some big moments. And that's when you learn about what people are made of. Like last night when you see Johnny lie down in front of a point shot, you're like, well, I don't know that I'd seen him do that before, and I learned something about him.
That might not have happened game 3.
No, of course not. And it wouldn't have happened if you didn't have guys leading the way in front of him like Russell, like Giordano all year.
There's nothing like having a taste of it. Get a taste of that intensity, and it's an addicting thing.
Russell only with 3 blocked shots last night.
Is that enough to set the record or no?
Well, it's 272 to lead the league by a considerable margin. But
I know he's flirting with the NHL record last night.
Only
he was
1
away or something like that.
Wide dog, 1 goal, 1 assist, 2 points plus 2, 6 blocked shots.
Top cheese.
14 goals, career high for the wide dog.
Yeah.
He's a fan of the show.
Yeah. His 35 assists match a career high. And he is 1 point away from tying his career high of 50 points.
How many guys in this roster have career highs?
Like, well, that's what you need.
Like, let's do a little check mark.
At the start of the year, how are they going?
Well, I said, we're going to have 230 goal scorers, a 50-point defenseman on this team. No chance. And Gio would have been 50 if he'd have stayed healthy.
Easy.
Jeez. This whole year is the strangest I've ever seen. Ever.
So here are your guys having career years. Dennis Wiedemann, career year. TJ Brody, career year. Mark Giordano, career year. Joe Colburn, career year. Johnny Gaudreau, career year. Lance Boma, career year. Sean Monahan, Yuri Hudler, also career years.
So they're going to
we've watched this
suck
year.
Next
something.
Year.
No, not necessarily.
Well,
most of those guys are young.
That's a conversation for, but.
They got all summer to
always, break that down. I'm always worried when guys have a bunch of career years and then you're like, okay, well, we can pencil him in for. 20 feet. Yeah,
no,
30.
Give,
you know,
35 30, to who? 30.
Yeah. Maybe get more. 30, 30.
70 points for Gio, sure.
And that's like, oof, floor fell out. But there's, you know, I want you to hear this this clip from Hartley, because we talk about how everybody played a role. And they did. You can look, okay, well, Marcus Granlund played 11:57 and Michael Ferland just 8 minutes and 21 seconds. But 8:21, that's 8:21 that your top line got some rest, or that somebody else, everybody did something to contribute. And Hartley talks about, and I'm sure the question about was about the Gaudreau not only scoring the goal, but diving to knock that puck away defensively late in the game. Everybody hits that shower and gets on the plane thinking, I was a part of this tonight.
That's the culture of this hockey club. Ooh, whoever you are,
No, like you don't pick and choose your jobs. You have to get dirty no matter what. And Johnny was right in that shooting lane, and that's a huge block. If Johnny doesn't block it, that puck may be be in the net, and you know, you never know what can happen after. So like commitment is a big part of this group, and that's why, like, you know, like I always say, it's a fun group to coach.
It's got to be an easy group to coach right now, too.
In some ways.
Not much motivating needing to be done, is there, Rhett?
Nope.
You've played this time of year.
Nope. Five games left. It's all on the line. You watch how they go out and work. I mean, maybe monitor who's going a little better at the start. Maybe a little more here. Maybe a little more in the power play. Are the top or the bottom two defensemen playing all right? Maybe slide them in a little bit more. But, I mean, roll them out there.
Yeah.
Your goaltending is your toughest decision.
You don't have many options, but right now that's probably the best thing for
you. Fine.
Probably didn't like 40 seconds in going down 1-0, though. You'd be a coach like, really?
Well, especially Jonas. Like,
really?
Is this how you want to...
We're not ready.
You want to earn some time from us?
I'm giving you this one, and you...
And Hiller did it against Nashville. The Roman Josi goal after the Flames started so well, and they give up the first goal of the game. This is their 24th come-from-behind win. That's second in the NHL.
Which is great, but...
It's another one of those dangerous stats. Do you take pride in that?
Yeah.
It's not really a prideful stat.
It shouldn't. You shouldn't have to... And a lot of them are like, that's that stat. Like last night's like, well, shouldn't be 1-0. Like,
yeah. And you just, the way I watch the game, right? Because I'm either all in or all out. That's just my life.
In terms of what? Like
everything.
Kenya or whether you're
2 minutes in, you are
just
all out.
Everything. 40 seconds in. Bah. I guess I can turn it off. but there's like, there's 59 minutes left in a 60-minute hockey game. Are you sure? Yeah, just turn it off.
You're so full of it, too, being all in or all out, because you've walked the line of... You've been on
In that way,
you've been
sure.
on the fence all year, and I think maybe when we come back...
We should play the game.
We have to play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I guess all in, all out wasn't the... I'm either, like, glass half, like, completely full or glass completely empty. I'm, like, either the totally optimistic or completely pessimistic. 40 seconds in, this game is over.
Felt
this
that way.
Is so over. And then they win. All right. Going to St. Louis and lose. Bah. It's over. 7 o'clock. We got Stephen Brunt in about 25 minutes. But, yeah, we'll get in the game in a minute and continue to break things down. Still yet a couple of things we've not talked about from this game, including what I would suggest will be a call to the league office. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.